This time of year, we think of springtime a lot and the changing season. Many of you, I'm sure you've noticed the green tint that the trees are getting, the underbrush especially, leaves are pushing out, trees are budding. There's a lot of the promise of a new season, another year. Changes are coming and the grass is turning green. In our front yard, we have a maple tree that has been turning red the last few weeks. And it's red with buds right now. They're budding, and the leaves will be coming out soon. But it's from that tree is where my inspiration for the message came this morning. There's new life flowing from the roots of that tree up through the trunk and out into each branch, into those buds. And that's how that tree is getting the life, the nutrients are coming out into those buds. And the bud is only able to grow as long as it remains attached to that tree. You can open your Bibles to John 15 this morning. For a text, setting of this passage in John, from John chapter 14 through 17, Jesus is giving some concluding thoughts, concluding message to his apostles. They were gathered together to share in the Last Supper in the upper room, and as they shared together, Jesus gave this discourse that we have here, and I want to focus primarily this morning on John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Just a few verses that are in here, very familiar verses about Jesus as the true vine. In these chapters, Jesus explains how the Holy Spirit would come and live in the heart of the believer. He talked about going to prepare the place for them in John 14. John 17, we have that high priestly prayer. You know the surrounding verses surrounding this, but the verses I want to look at this morning come from John 15. We're going to read John 15, verses 1 to 17, although primarily I'm going to focus on the first 8 verses. I'm going to invite you to stand as I read this passage. John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You may be seated. I want to just go through this passage. We're going to look at these verses about the vine and pull out some truths, some thoughts that Jesus gave that can be, I trust, can be an inspiration for us this week. First thing I notice in verse 1 is Jesus says, "I am the true vine." If you remember, a few weeks ago at our revivals, Brother Dave brought one message on the I Am's of John. And Jesus, over and over again throughout the book of John here, gave illustrations of what he is to us. He gave these illustrations. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection." There was numerous of those that we looked at in that message, and this is one of them. "I am the true vine." He was illustrating himself to the disciples. He was showing them, telling them who he is and how he is this vine. Jesus uses the illustration of a grapevine to show the dependence of the Christian on him. And Jesus is the vine. Could we say the root or the trunk of a grapevine? Grapevines typically produce grapes for 20 to 30 years. And they grow out from that trunk. I found it interesting. There is a vine in the country of Slovenia that is believed to be over 400 years old, a 400-year-old grapevine that is still producing grapes. It is taken care of carefully by a caretaker that tends that vine, trims that vine, keeps it in shape. Still producing grapes. Jesus is that true vine. He's like the trunk of that old vine in Slovenia. A big, thick trunk comes up and it goes out, and there's branches that reach far out. It's on a trestle attached to a building, goes far out, and that vine is enduring. That trunk that comes up, all the nutrients, all the moisture for that whole vine flow through that one trunk. In that same way, Jesus is that vine. He is the main source of our strength, of our where we gain our strength from each day. In that same verse, Jesus says, "My Father is the husbandman." God the Father and God the Son both are invested in the relationship with each believer. They want to see, have a relationship with you, both the Father and the Son. God is the one that is tending and nurturing the vine. He's the one that helps it produce fruit, the one that prunes and trims the vine to increase production. They're working together, both God the Father and God the Son are working together to help you and I produce fruit. Fruit that will be a blessing in our lives and will flow out and bless others. I find it inspiring to think of how God the Father and God the Son work together. And we know the Holy Spirit is also involved in that endeavor to build and nurture the relationship with each Christian here this morning. Looking at verse 2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." The goal of the husbandman is to produce fruit. That is the goal that he has in mind for this grapevine. He wants it to produce fruit. Grapevines are not grown for their beauty. They're not grown for their timber. They don't have any timber value to them. They're not grown for shade. They don't typically provide a lot of shade, but they're grown to produce grapes. The purpose is to produce fruit. And that is the purpose, the goal of the husbandman in each one of our lives. He wants our lives to produce fruit. The husbandman will look for ways to increase production and eliminate energy going to other unnecessary parts of the vine. Grapevines produce shoots that are called suckers that shoot off. They do not produce fruit. I believe probably why they're called suckers is they suck energy away from the rest of the vine. They take away the energy and they're shoots that need to be cut off because they do not produce fruit. This verse says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. These suckers suck nutrients and moisture from the parts of the vine that are producing fruit. And then every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So the vines, the part of the vine that does produce fruit, the husbandman will trim it and prune it to the size that he wants it, so that there is the right amount of buds, the right amount of buds there to produce the amount of clusters he wants to see on that vine. And that's done every late winter. They go through and trim the grapevines. And typically they cut that wood down to just one or two buds at each place, each shoot where it's coming out of the fruiting, out of the wood. Fruit is grown on second year wood in a grapevine. That wood was grown as a shoot the first year, and the second year there's buds coming out of it, and the husbandman will prune that second year wood to leave just one or two buds on that, and those buds are where the clusters of grapes then grow out of. My wife remembers trimming her grandmother's grapevines. She said the harder you trim the vine, the better the vine produces. The fewest amount of buds that are left there, the bigger those clusters will be. Find it interesting. God is cutting and pruning in our lives to make us better fruit-bearing Christians. That's his goal. He wants us to bear fruit. Hebrews 12, we could turn there and talk about the chastening that God brings into our lives. I don't think we'll do that this morning, but it talks about the chastening of God. Typically, we don't think of chastening as something enjoyable, something that we look forward to. And it talks about that there. We don't enjoy it when we're in the middle of that. And often we're crying out to God to deliver us from situations. But let's never forget that God brings those trials and tests into our life to make us into better fruit-bearing Christians. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to develop a deeper connection to him, to be closer attached to the vine. Hebrews 12:11 says, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening yields fruit. And that's why God brings that into our lives. He's interested in us bearing fruit, and bearing fruit that will honor him, glorify him. Here in John 15, looking at verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. His word was going forth to them. But thinking of abiding in the vine, a branch is attached to the vine. The source of power that comes through the word of God into the life of the Christian has a cleansing effect on our lives. I think without the power, the strength, the word of God flowing into our lives as we're connected to that vine, the world around us will defile us if we're not staying connected. When we stay connected to the vine, the life-giving power that comes from Christ washes and purifies, it cleanses our lives, makes us clean. You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We need to keep our lives immersed in the word of God. connected to Him and His Word, daily spending time reading, studying the Word of God. It's going to protect us from defilement in the world around us. I've been impressed over and over again when someone is facing failure in their Christian life, often they admit that their connection to the Word of God has been failing too. And that are the two connected? I believe they are. There is a correlation between that. Let's keep that connection to the Word of God, to the vine, strong and true, and that Word will cleanse us. You're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Coming to verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you. Are you abiding in Christ this morning? And that's, could we say this is the main verse of the chapter, thinking about abiding in the vine. Christ wants us to abide in Him, and He abides in us. The two are intertwined. I believe Jesus desires this abiding from each Christian. He wants each Christian to be connected closely with Him. He wants connection and fellowship. He wants us to bring our needs to Him. He wants us to bring our problems, burdens, and ask for His direction in our life. Jesus receives honor and glory when we abide in Him. And what are some practical ways that we can abide in the vine? Well, a branch that is attached to the vine is firmly attached. Think of a branch growing out of a tree. It is attached. That's a strong point in the tree. There's a strong connection there. A branch cannot separate itself and just pull itself away and disconnect for a while and then come back again. It doesn't work that way. They're connected. That connection is strong and will not disconnect on its own. There's consistency in the relationship. How is it for you in your life, in your relationship with the vine? Is there consistency there? Is there something that is a strong attachment point? Does the truth of God flow daily into your life? Is the channel of prayer open to the source of power and strength in that vine? Can you pull that power from the vine into your life? Abiding in the vine is not something that happens automatically. It takes intentional nurturing of that relationship. Prioritize your relationship with Christ. Maintain it like you would if you had a plant that was very important to you. Like that 400-year-old vine that is known as the oldest grapevine in the world. They're careful with that vine. They treat it carefully. Treat your connection with the vine carefully. Nurture it. Spend time with it. It does not happen automatically. Just like a vine, a tree, a flower, it takes care, it takes nurturing. Make your devotional life habitual. Something that you do as a habit is most likely to be something you'll continue to do if you form it into a habit. Make it a habit. Find a quiet place. Find a place away from distractions. Keep it meaningful by being immersed in the Word of God. And take time. Abiding is not something you can force to happen quickly and then move on. It takes time. It takes intentionally abiding in the vine. Another aspect to abiding that I think is a temptation for us all is to somehow separate our spiritual lives from our everyday lives. Yes, maybe you have your devotional time where you spend reading the Word, but then do you go away and forget about it? Or do you abide in Christ throughout the day? Temptation can be to separate it. Maybe you have our church life and our everyday life. You come to church on Sunday morning, but then throughout the week, it's somehow we disconnect from that. Let's not do that. Remember to abide. Abiding indicates a connection that's consistent and enduring. second part of verse 4 says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus used the illustration of a grapevine and this branch, and the importance of a branch abiding in the vine. And last Monday, I went out to the maple tree in our front lawn, and I cut off a branch that was growing. And I cut it off, and this branch is no longer connected to the tree. As of last Monday, it was cut off, and within 12 hours, it started to wilt, and these buds, and they turned darker. But within 12 hours, it was already starting to look wilted. This branch is not able to bear fruit. It will not produce leaves this year. It will not even produce, even though there's little seeds that are just starting there, they will not mature into a seed that will create a little maple tree in the yard later this year. The nutrients, the water, the moisture stopped flowing to those leaves when it was cut off. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself because it's not connected to the root. It's not connected to the source of power. Jesus used this very tangible example to explain the importance of abiding in him. A branch from a grapevine that has been cut off will not produce any grapes. In the same way, you and I will not produce fruit if we're not connected to that life-giving source. There is no way we can produce fruit in our own power. So what fruit should be evident in the life of every branch, in the life of each one of us? What fruit is there? Well, our minds immediately go to the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, I'm going to just turn there. I invite you to turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, very familiar. You can probably quote it by memory. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What fruit should be evident in the life of our lives? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's only as we're connected to the vine, connected to Christ, to the Spirit, that fruit will grow. Is your life showing evidence of that fruit of the Spirit this morning? A challenge for each one of us. Fruit should be evident in our lives. Probably the best test of that is when you get in around the people that know you the best. They know whether that fruit is there or not. At home and home life, church life, is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life this morning? Another fruit that I believe should be evident in the life of every branch that is connected to the true vine is obedience. And Brother Virgil talked about some of this last Sunday in his message. I just want to touch on it a little bit. Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, I want to read here a passage that Jesus talked about fruit. He talked about false prophets and how to know them. And he said that the way we know whether a prophet is true or false is by the fruit that comes forth from their lives. So again, he's talking about fruit. But what is that fruit? And then in the later verses, I believe it, he explains what that fruit is. I'm going to read Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, By their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This passage talks about bearing fruit. It talks about good fruit and evil fruit. It talks about how good fruit will come from a vine or a fig tree, and you don't get grapes or figs from a thorn bush or a thistle bush. But at the end of this passage, he says, even a lip profession is not proof of connection to the vine or of good fruit, but it's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I think that comes down to obedience. Obedience to this word. Obedience to what is we know and have been given as the word of God, the truth, the true word of God. Are we living lives of obedience this morning? More than just professing a relationship with him, but doing it, actually living it out, doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. I believe obedience is a fruit that shows whether we're connected to the true vine, whether we're following after what God has given us. Are we affected by the word of God when we read it and hear it? Or do we hear it and say, yes, that sounds good, but then it go away and it not really affect us? Glowing testimony, acknowledgement of Jesus, as they did in this verse, is not proof of connection to the vine. Jesus tells these people in this verse that he never knew them. Knowing proves connection. But he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, the work iniquity. The fruits coming forth from their life were not evidence, were evidence of not being connected. Back in John chapter 15, looking at verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. This verse kind of recaps what we've already looked at. Jesus summarized the thoughts that he had given already. Jesus said that an abiding branch will bring forth much fruit. How much fruit is coming forth from your life this morning? This branch is not something that's producing a few small withered grapes, but I picture a branch that's loaded down with huge clusters of juicy grapes, something that will be satisfying to the husbandman. He'll look at it and he'll say, now that branch was worth tending. It was worth taking care of. The life of a Christian that is abiding in Jesus is a fruitful life. I believe a connected branch will be noticeable to those that meet us from day to day. Those that we interact with will look at our lives and say, that person has something that I'm missing if they're not a Christian. It should show on our countenance. It should be evident in the way we present ourselves. Are we cheerful? Or do they see us as some forlorn and downcast person? And again, all the strength from this comes through the trunk, through the vine. It's nothing we can do on ourselves. Let's never become proud or believe we're able to bear fruit on our own. It doesn't work that way. It's just not possible to produce fruit if you're not connected. Just in the same way that branch is dead and withered because it is not connected to the true vine or to the fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So what's the alternative to abiding? What happens if we're not abiding? It's to be cut off like that branch that I took off the maple tree. It's no longer abiding there. It's withering. It's dying. It's drying out. The buds are wilted. It's not worth anything. It's not worth anything for, but only worth kindling, to throw on a fire, to throw into a fire and get rid of it. It does not even have much heat value in itself. It's just, think of the when they trim a grapevine, they rake those branches on a pile. They're not even worth that much to heat a building, because until you get them compressed enough to get the energy out of them, they just throw them on a pile and burn them because they're worthless. A person that is not connected to the vine in the same way cannot get any source of power to live the Christian life. Fall miserably short in their own strength to try to produce fruit. Maybe a person that is not connected to the vine may try to tie some fruit onto their branches, but it doesn't work. It's withered, it's wilting, it just doesn't work. And the final end of any branch that is not connected to the vine is eternal destruction. They literally will burn. The cost of being disconnected from the vine is high. We as Christians need to stay connected to the true vine, keep that connection alive and well. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. An abiding Christian has a connection with the vine that will lead to a fuller and more meaningful relationship with Christ. God's word gives us power. Again, thinking of that, of the word of God flowing into us and how his words abide in us. His words bring truth and light to our lives. Gives clarity and confusion. Clarity to the confusion that we see in the world around us. I mean, been amazed at the... I was reading a little recently about a church that was taking a stand against sinful lifestyle and some of the comments that were made towards those people. And they were calling them all kinds of names because of their being intolerant of alternate lifestyles. And when you think through that and the whole confusion of how that is, they're intolerant of truth. But as we are connected to the Word of God, that truth will bring clarity to our lives. And I believe will flow out and affect others around us. Last part of the verse says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We have a connection to the vine. We have access to the throne of God. Are you availing yourself of that this morning? Are you asking God for the needs in your life, the burdens in your life? Bring them to him. He is there. He's interested in answering our prayers. He wants to be there to support us, to answer our prayers. Do you bring your burdens to God, or do we see prayer as a last resort, something to do if all else fails? Let's bring it to God. He's interested. God is interested in his branches. He wants us to bring our burdens to him. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. God is interested and glorified when we bear fruit. He wants that. He's interested in that. Just as any farmer or gardener here knows the reward of a good crop. You know the reward that you feel after all the work, fertilizing, pruning the branches, carefully tying up the branches so they can support the weight of the fruit. And after a long summer of watching that fruit develop, you know the joy of harvesting the fruit. God is glorified when we bear fruit. God receives glory from that. We need to remember that we are not bearing this fruit for ourselves. We're not bearing this fruit to somehow benefit us, but it's to benefit God, to bring honor and glory to him. And it's through him that we have that strength, through Christ that we have that strength to do that. But the responsibility we have is to abide in the vine, to keep that connection there. Another result of bearing fruit is that we are disciples. It says here, so shall ye be my disciples. One of the results of bearing fruit is that we can claim that we are a follower of Christ. We are one of his disciples. A disciple is one that patterns his life after his master. Our master is there to give us the nutrition, the strength. Let's pattern our lives after him. Let's show those around us who Christ is. He is the true vine. We are those branches that come forth from that to produce fruit to the world around us, for the world around us to see Christ. Just a few concluding thoughts as I ponder this passage. The analogy of a branch and a vine. I had to think of the passage in Romans 11 where Paul talked about grafting. He was talking there about the Jews and the Gentiles and being grafted in. So is a branch that is cut off able to be reconnected to the vine? Is it possible, if this morning you find yourself disconnected from the vine, to be reconnected? I think a branch can be grafted back in, and if there is repentance, if there is a seeking after God, that connection can again be made true, can be made strong. We are called to abide in the vine, but if you find yourself disconnected, repent, cry out to the husbandman, he can graft you back in. There is a time coming when the branches that are not abiding will be destroyed. Let's stay connected. In the verses following that we read, from verses 9 to 17, Jesus talked about love, loving each other, love that we have for the brethren. Talked about abiding in his love. It is all part of abiding in the vine. In verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." When you think of a vine with many branches on it, those branches all have the same goal, the same purpose. And that's how a brotherhood, a church should be. Our goal is the same, to have love one for another. Does the community in Juniata and Snyder County know the folks that go to church here as a church that loves the Lord and each other? Do they see us all as branches that are connected to one vine? Again, part of abiding in the vine is to love and support the other branches around it. I believe that is part of it. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." If we're truly abiding in the true vine, our relationships with the brotherhood and our neighbors will show. They'll be able to see it. They'll be able to see the fruit. They'll be able to see that we work together and have love for our brothers and for those around us in the community. Well, may God bless you this week as you abide in the vine. Nurture that connection. Don't let that connection become weak or faltering. Be washed by the word of God as it flows into your life. Allow it to cleanse away the filth that so quickly can gather. Allow the power that flows from Christ to produce fruit that will bless others around us. As you abide in the vine, remember that the only strength that we have comes from Christ. It's only through him that the root, all those nutrients come from him.